Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Black Womaniverse. This is your host, Goddess Tara, also known as Seek Wisdom. Happy New Year to everyone. It is now officially 2010, and I'm hoping y'all feeling this goddess energy in 2010, because this is just the beginning of everything that's going on with this shift and this feminine energy that's rising very quickly now. I have a very informative show today. We will be discussing Goddess, Alpha, and Omega, meaning Goddess is the center, the beginning, and the end of everything. And we will be discussing sacred sisterhood in addition to a lot of other things. So this is an open forum today. We will have Pastor Jeanette Flowers participating and giving us her, you know, wisdom in reference to some of the things we will discuss today. The call-in number is 646-716-7675. And I'm going to go ahead and play a little selection by Maxwell. I like Maxwell. I think he is very familiar with the goddess, very familiar with that. And since our topic today is Goddess Alpha and Omega, I'm going to play Ascension, and I want everyone to listen to the words in this song. So we'll be right back. peace and blessings. Welcome back to the Black Womaniverse. Again, this is your host, Goddess Tara, also known as Seek Wisdom. Let's see here. We have Pastor Flowers on the line. Pastor Flowers, how you doing?
I'm blessed. How are you?
I'm great. I'm great. Happy New Year.
Well, thank you. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Every day we birthing something, huh?
Yes, we are. Creators.
Yeah, we are definitely that. We are definitely that. I'm going to go ahead and give this call-in number out again. It's 646-716-7675. You know, this is going to be an open forum today. We're going to just allow the spirit to flow. I mean, it's some things we need to, you know, really talk about today. So we're just going to, you know, let it flow and see where this takes us. I'm going to read the description that I put up for the show today just so people know where we're coming from. Goddess, Alpha and Omega, and Sacred Sisterhood. We will be talking about culture and Sacred Sisterhood. This show is dedicated to truth about who and what the center of our African cultures was. We will discuss mythology, how important that is. We will touch on archetypes and speak about Sacred Sisterhoods and much more. You know how the sisters are when we get on the phone, it flows. It may start off at one point and end up somewhere else, but it's going to flow. So with that being said, I'm going to allow the elder. I know I'm the host, but I have an elder on the line. So I just want, Pastor Flowers, if you could get into the title, what we have here, God is Alpha and Omega. What do you have to say about that?
She's the beginning and the end of all things, and there's nothing that doesn't end with her. And it's also a zero, it's a complete circle. It's like in some descriptions it had the snake eating its tail and making a circle. It's the wheel, you know, who invented the wheel. You know, it's where everything is. It's what everybody's trying to figure out, and nobody seems to really understand. And unfortunately, even the person that's the real Alpha and Omega doesn't understand who she is anymore.
That's true. I totally agree with that. I mean, the Black woman is the beginning and the end. She is, in all herself, the mystery system. And she has forgotten what and where the mystery was. She forgot that she was it.
That's true.
So, you know, the whole focus of Black Womaniverse and everything that we are trying to do here is bring information out in reference to that mystery, because there was a time when it wasn't a mystery.
Right.
Everybody knew.
Right.
Everybody knew, you know, who was the shit, so to speak.
And that's the adage of the light. Because the light was it in Revelations, it says, I can't quote word for word, but the symbology is trying to say that the sun, you know, the sun is what we look at, and it gives all life down here below. But it talks about the sun would be no more, and, well, it uses it in the reference of Jesus would be the light. And really the spirit behind Jesus is the goddess. So she is the light. She can only give you light on her own self. And she did at one time. But in learning about that light, right now the light is darkened, because we are that system, and we don't know that we're that system, because we've been basically trained not to know who we are anymore.
Right.
We've been systematically hypnotized.
Very much so. Very much so. Wow. What is the importance of mythology?
Well, mythology.
Is it really a myth?
Not really. It's you have history and you have mythology. And mythology is more of the truth, but they done said that that's more the fiction than it is the truth. And history is more the lie than it is the truth. So they done confuse things. But the thing about truth, it has to be truth in all things, because that's what keeps the sun where it is and everything else. That's the truth, and that's her. That's that sticky black stuff of what we are. And we hold things in place. So you have to always have a little truth, and then you got a little of the lie in there. And that's, it's like a vaccination. You're really okay, but then they put a vaccination that tells you they're going to make you better than what you are. And they're going to help prevent certain illness, you know, not come on you. But in fact, what they're doing is putting the illness in you. But you don't know that. And see, you have to say yes. You have to be in agreement for them to do it. They're not doing it behind your back. They're really doing it in front of your face, but you don't know what it is. Because you don't know who you are anymore. And so it's like, I'll let you ask me the next question. Because that's one of those things you could get lost in, because it's right. That deep.
I mean, some people forget mythology has always been. It was a way of us teaching our culture and teaching life lessons and teaching history all in one, while making somebody think it may or may not have been true. Because some people, they didn't want information to get to, because at some point, everybody knew everything at one point. But at some point, only certain information was given to certain people.
Mm-hmm.
And mythology was a way of telling the truth without necessarily people knowing that it was true, so to speak.
Well, that's the secondary. That's what it became.
Yeah, that's the secondary part.
Yeah, that's what it became, you know. But it was really a way to describe with all that they knew how to do and put in words. They're trying to describe the elements, the character, the spirit behind
mm-hmm.
God. And so, and then there also is many different levels there, because they're also telling what they did do. You know, we see half man and half this. Well, that's really what they did do. Because, I mean, if you're learning science, you have to experiment.
True indeed.
And so mythology tells you really some of the stuff of what they did, but you don't understand that. You know, why would a man and a horse need to be together, you know? You're not really understanding that. You know, it could be the story could have been telling you about H2O, but not really just say H2O, because people didn't know what H2O was.
Right.
So you told it in the story, and you told about the spirit behind it. You know, and the spirit, I mean, it can come into a storyline. Because you're telling all the works of that particular element in a story. But you're really talking about something else. And the priests that wrote it that way, they knew what they were talking about. But the average person, they would just see it, well, this is beyond me. You know, a man and a horse, I've never seen anything like that. It just don't seem possible. But then they have estrogen that they put in you, comes from a horse.
Wow.
So which is the truth and which isn't, you know. So you got to really look at all the things. You got to look at everything. My mom always said there you could find some truth in everything, even a drunk.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to learn that, you know, you have to look everywhere, because in it is a part of the truth, and that's quantum physics. So they're talking science, but they're telling it in a story.
Right, right.
Which is true.
And see, most people pick things up a little easier when it's told in a story form.
Well, yeah. I mean, and that was like so many. There have been people who say that some of the religious texts, these were like baby stories for children, because in the way, but it's told. But then there's I know in the Bible it says, you know, that babies drink milk, and when you're an adult, you eat meat. So it's really kind of telling you, this is the child story. You know, when you're going to school, you hear a story, and as you progress through elementary school, that story builds and builds and builds, and then it becomes more of something else. I mean, they do it with nursery rhymes. You know, there's just many different ways to relay information, and believe me, we are the master of all of them because we created it.
So that brings me there to archetypes. And archetypes. Now, I'm going to read the dictionary definition, and we know that's all good for about a pile of beans. But sometimes they give a little good info. Sometimes. So, archetypes. The dictionary defines an archetype as the original pattern or model from which all things of the same kind are copied or on which they are based, a model or a first form, a prototype.
That's about it.
And that's why I don't necessarily go by what's in the dictionary, because sometimes you have to, you know, parse it in bits and pieces and really dig deep. But for this one, it was on point to what an archetype is.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're looking at archetypes, a lot of people know things by deities, gods, and goddesses, but those are archetypes. But those are models and patterns of the same thing, or copied and based off of an original and a prototype. So now the question is, and we probably already answered that, but for those who didn't get it the first time around, what was it copied off of? What was the first? What was the original?
Us.
The black woman.
The black woman. And everybody has always, and really in some essence, still know that except the black woman.
Now, I have a sister that's in the chat room that I really would like to chime in on this conversation. Sister Bird, if you could please call in, 646-716-7675. And Queen Goddess, Uokis Ra, please, I would love to have, this is a roundtable discussion. We need the queens and the sisters on the phone to discuss this. Because these shows and these forums are a ways for our other sisters to get this information. And, you know, it opens up their minds so they can start doing their own research. Because we can get information and we can read books, but we have to do the work ourselves. We have to go dig deep and find things ourselves. So I want, you know, if y'all could, you know, call in and participate with the discussion. That would be perfect. I don't want to have to call y'all out now. by opening up the call lines and putting people on blast. No, but I want all of us to participate with this, all the sisters to participate with this, because it's of vital importance to our, you know, to our sisterhood that we discuss these things and people hear more than one point of view, so this can spark something in them to go dig deep and learn and find certain things out for themselves.
You got to free your mind. You know, and the only way you could free your mind is you really do the work. You're in bondage in your mind, and you have to begin to hear different. This why, you know, we're talking about archetypes. You know, and the idea of archetypes, it's like there's many things that duplicate the same thing, and so you got to go in and look at them and see how different people have described them in order for you to find yourself. It's like, it's almost like you was a whole person and somebody didn't cut you up and spread you out all over the world. Now you got to go back and collect yourself. So when you go back and you learn about the archetypes, then you discover, hey, that was the black goddess. She was there too.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. And so you begin to put everything together in a whole, because that's how women do. Women see things through a whole. But you got to see, you got to first do the work so you could discover who you are and what you're capable of. And then once you know what your capabilities are, then you're able to use those capabilities to create your own creation. Because this creation down here, you created. And you don't know that. Because you've been told God did it, which was a man. And then you're stymied at that, because now you're saying, well, how did he create that? And so my thing is, you know, I had to go back, well, where did this stuff originally come from? Who was speaking this? And stuff always took me right back to Africa. You know, my journey, I came up Catholic, you know, then I tried to figure out, well, okay, when I got a certain age in my 20s, why is there all these different religions and this, everybody saying they worship God, and who is God? So that was the thing that kept me on that journey until I discovered that I was really searching for my own self.
Now that's deep. That's deep, but it is, but it isn't. It's right there in front of our face. We go outside of ourselves looking and searching and finding, and you keep looking and searching and finding, and one day it hits you, it's you.
Well, in Yamaya, Yamaya, different people pronounce it different way, has a mirror and looking in the mirror. It's still talking about looking into you.
Right. Right.
You know, and you know, we were talking earlier, we can change anything because we created everything. Even this situation we're in right now.
Now, that's the thing that a lot of us don't want to talk about. Now, I have opened area code 478.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you, ladies?
We blessed.
Yes. Oh, yes, you all are.
Who are we speaking with?
This is the Goddess Network. Since
Hi,
I was called out in the room.
Goddess Network in the house.
That's
I wanted to say this, and I'm going to let you all finish, because I'm just enjoying the conversation. But I wanted to say something that I kind of get, you know, upset, a little perturbed about while we are talking about archetypes. Because, you know, in just studying this stuff and studying your own, a lot of times women, we have to study, you know, Caucasian women's literature, and
yes,
they mask us very well. And I found this out earlier, and I've even had, you know, because I'm more warrior. I don't have a problem with arguing with any of them. But when we talk about the dark goddess, a lot of times it is placed in the archetype, you know, little corner. And some others do that because they don't want black women to know that that is them. They'll say that the dark just means evil, or it just means, you know, bad, or, you know, when they talk about the crone, they'll say it's just hidden. But no, dark means you. It is the black woman.
Right.
And I've had these conversations plenty of times, whether you're talking about Lilith or Hecate, but another dark goddess that they do not want to own up to being a black Libyan Amazon is also Medusa. And they want to say that those are not really locks. They're, you know, something else. It is always something. So I just wanted to say this, especially even in Cali. I just want to, or the Dark Mother, you know, Mary, who, you know, who's the first Madonna. Right. I wanted just to say this to any of the sisters that listen to this that are studying, because you are masked in a lot of these books. But when they talk about dark goddess as an archetype, know that they are not just talking about the mythologies. Even though that is true, but they are referencing you as the black woman.
That's
And that's all I wanted to say. But thank you. I enjoy the conversation.
No, you can't go.
Now, hold on. Wait.
Wait a minute.
No, you're not.
I like listening.
And we like listening and talking
to
you.
We like listening, too.
But we gonna talk today.
Hold on. Before you skate out, I really hope you would, and I really wish you would stay because you're very much welcome. Very much welcome. I mean, all the work that you have been doing.
That's right.
With everything you've been putting out on, the Goddess Networks on YouTube. If y'all have not, I can't imagine anybody that's into Goddess that has not run across a video or an interview that this sister has posted up. So, from one sister to another, I love you and thank you
for everything you've been doing. Thank you. Thank you. I love all the work you all are doing. I have, as a matter of fact, interviewed Pastor Flowers, and I'm going to put her interview up on my page, too. But, no, I'm glad for, all the sisters' work because I learned,
yes.
I learned so much from all of y'all, but I just wanted to hit on that because, they will talk about archetypes all day, and they will not own it up to being any woman of color, dark, of African descent. They will skirt all around that, but they'll just say it's dark, dark, dark. And we are not just myth because we are myth, but we are the story. We are the beginning
right.
and the end, and we are the present, which is right now, and we are the dark goddess personified. So I just wanted to add that in. But I'll stay on the line. I'll just, go off cue.
Now, I wanted to, while we were talking about archetype, if we could, for the sisters who may be listening to this that are just now getting into Goddess, can we, in addition to the goddesses we mentioned or the archetypes we mentioned earlier, can we, throw some more out there so the sisters will know, have some reference points in doing their own research? So we've mentioned Kali, we've mentioned Medusa, we mentioned Yemaya.
And Lilith.
We mentioned Mary, which is also a form of Set and the Black Madonna.
Right. Y'all mentioned Tiamat.
Ooh, Tiamat. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think y'all have also mentioned Gia, who, really linked to the earth, which is dark
right.
and green as well. There's so many. Do y'all want to?
Goddess Neith.
Oh, yes. Yeah, first.
Let's talk about that right quick.
Yeah, first.
Let's talk about that. Everywhere, everybody is mentioning Ra. But nobody is talking about Goddess Neith, or Nit, as some people pronounce it.
Mm-hmm.
She was the mother of Ra.
Yep.
She was the goddess of weaving, which is why they called her Nit. She weaved everything into creation.
Mm. The sticky stuff.
I'll share the same sentiment. I for the life of me, I don't know why that goddess name isn't up there on the forefront also, but... I have my own thoughts of Ra because I don't believe Ra even existed.
Ra.
Ra existed.
Ra is the sun, but Ra wasn't. It might have been Ray.
Right. Right.
Now, what do you explain that, Pastor Flowers? Ra may have been Ray. What do you mean by that? I know what you mean, but for the audience.
The Kundalini fire is what? Fire is always...
Fire.
I'm up here chewing bacon. And it went down the wrong throat. This vegan type soy bacon and went down the wrong throat. Okay.
Well, I'm glad you got through that.
Thank you. I'm sorry that I had to share all that with y'all.
It is what it is.
The thing here is that everything really was about the woman. There was never a man god. That's a new thing that came. Even the sun. If you go back, I think it's over Kuan Yin, when you go back in those things, and see, that's what they did. That's what she's telling you. You got to study everything because they hit her there. They spread out the different characteristics, and then they put a white face on it, and then they said this, and then they talk about dark being everything but the color of her skin.
Right. Now, I've opened, I think, Queen Goddess. Is that your line, 111?
You got me.
All right.
Hello.
How are you doing, sister?
What's up, beloved sacred sister goddesses? It's a pleasure to be called out by you all. And I'm going to stop cooking for just a few moments to say I am Queen Goddess Ra in the house here. calling for Ra, the sun. And you all were talking about, or someone was speaking about, I think it was Pastor Flowers, our ability to create. And I just wanted to emphasize that and speak on that because that is my focus in life is creating, taking one form and consciously creating, taking one form and turning it into another form, and that we are in a constant, continual creating vibration in every breath that we take, every word that we speak, every thought that we have, every memory, and that we need to be really mindful of what is in our minds, what is in our hearts, what we are carrying around in our sacred temples as the goddesses that we are, because once we step into the realm of the goddess, once we have reawakened that divine essence of who we really are, then we are magnified in what we do and what we say. So just be mindful that we are creatresses and that we need to be more aware of what we do and what we say and what we think, what we feel, what we express.
Indeed. That's who we are.
That is.
Myself and Seek Wisdom earlier were talking in just that manner, because everything is manifested from our feelings, from our thoughts, and then we create. And so if we're creating something that we're not happy with, then it's up to us to recreate it, because we created it in the first place. Everything is created here on this earth by the feminine essence of love. I mean, that's what we love and we create.
I agree.
And everything in the universe is done. I can't even bring it down to the nanosecond. And she's still creating. Because it's stated that, you know, a star is born every day. And that's true. As we speak, a star is born. And that's us. And we're the stars.
And now, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, whatever it is that we have in our mind, we create. But the issue is that we don't know that anymore.
Right. Now, you mentioned earlier, I think it was, I don't know whether it was Goddess Networks or whether it was you, Pastor Fires, but the topic was brought up of European women or women of other cultures writing books and hiding information and things of that nature. And that ties right into the fact that we can't just study African culture to go back to find dark goddess, because we are everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to study everything. We have to study Vedic. We have to study Celtic. We have to study Native American. We have to study everything, because we are everywhere.
Well,
it's not just Kemetic or Nubian, because
right.
They've hidden our depictions and our energy everywhere and covered it up.
Well, you go back, you know, I think what people don't want to really believe is that at one time all the land masses were one. And so it wasn't seven continents.
Right.
And the information was all the same. And it's, so you have got to go, when you got now, we didn't, it's like, When you have a embryo, it splits in half, and then it continues on and on and on. Well, that's where it's so many different cultures on the earth right now. But if you go back and you study every culture, you'll always find at the origin of all of them is a dark goddess.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And so when you find that out, then you're able, well, if the dark goddess is here, and this is Russia, well, that meant we were here.
Thank you.
Then you'll get to understand. Then you begin to understand, why did they make it like this? Why did I have to do all this research? Why are they hiding this from me?
And this is the Goddess Networks. I wanted to add this in, especially when the wonderful sister was just speaking about creation. I like to say, like, from one came many. And to me, that is, you know, 100% true. And that is just, you know, the whole orifice and vortex of creation there. From one, from the dark mother came all of these others. From one deity came everything else. So to me, that is just like the epitome of creation. So when I see that there's, you know, an Alat and a Minerva and a Hathor and an Ishtar and an Astarte, when I see, you know, that there's Saraswati and all the other ones, that I can see them and still see me because, you know, from one came many. So that just speaks to the creative ability of not only the Great Mother, but the dark goddesses that are made in her likeness and image, that we are that. We're the vortex and epitome of creation for all of it, and we truly can create it. We truly can create it. When we see another goddess in another name, we know that that is our progeny. And that's how I look at it all. I don't, you know, differentiate anyone else's goddess path, if that's wherever they want to be in, you know, Babylon or Norse. It doesn't matter. Celtic, it doesn't matter. I know that the root of it is the dark goddess, and that's how
right.
I see it.
Right, right.
And I think that that is the most important thing that the black woman has to understand, because that's her place. You
right.
know, she's not behind that. She is the originator of this, you know, and she has to understand that. If she doesn't understand that, she can't take her power back.
I agree.
You know.
Wow. That's it right there. If she does not understand who she really is and that everything originated from her and through her, she cannot take her power back. Wow.
You know, everybody is using her power but her.
I'd like to share something with you all.
All right. Please do.
I am very, very Afrocentric. I have been culturally indoctrinated for many, 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 many years, many years. And in the course of this indoctrination or my studies, my embracing my culture, of course there were pieces missing, like the goddess vibration. And the way it came back to me was through the European woman.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
I have several mm-hmm. sisters. One has been a sister friend of mine for many, many years. And she was holding a lot of information, which was inadvertently, or I don't know if that's the right word. Ultimately, she brought me the information, and then, of course, I embraced it, understood it, and I'm now helping her to come back to herself with the information, which is an
mm-hmm.
interesting
mm-hmm.
situation, because she was not able to hold on to it. It was too powerful for her. That's what I want to say. And I believe what I'm trying to reveal is that there is, since we all come from one and we are the beginning, we have left these aspects of ourselves in places that we have to go back and revisit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And
yes.
I just wanted to put that out there to see what kind of a dialogue I could, you know, stir up in my pot.
Thank you so much for putting
you're
that
welcome.
Out
yes.
there. I mean, because I think all of us share a story like that. Like myself, I'm young. I'm 28 years old. You know, all my life, my family has been Christian. And, you know, when I went into the church atmosphere, my spirit just, I would look around, see people catching the Holy Ghost, and it looked like they're having an orgasm, but I'm going to save that comment for later. And I'm just looking around, and I'm like, well, what am I not doing right? I'm reading the Bible. I'm practicing everything. How come I'm not catching the Holy Ghost? How, you know, what's wrong with me? So I was like, something just didn't feel right. It just didn't feel right. And then some of the things I was being taught didn't feel right. So then I knew I wasn't being taught all of my history. I went and found that, so I got upset, and I was mad, so I'm a mad black person now. And then I walking along with my brothers, and I'm realizing, so we in this conscious movement, and, you know, we Afrocentric, and I'm realizing that it's certain times that I can't speak. It's certain things that I can't participate in because I'm a woman, and that's a man's conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, hold on, wait a minute. So then someone said, "Was you know, Spirit speaking to me like, you got to go deeper. It's something you're not missing. It's something you're not getting yet that you need to know." So I start listening to different radio shows and just reading different things, and I found it. It was that dark goddess. And when I found it, I first thought, okay, yeah, you know, black woman is God, this and that, but I still had to go deeper into more and different cultures. I had to open my mind. I really had to release everything that I had been taught on every level. and relearn myself.
I was the same way as, that the queen goddess spoke. I was the same way, and, but I wasn't, and my story is a little like the opposite because I wasn't Afrocentric first. I was, and I don't even call myself that now. Call me more goddess-centric, but I came through the Caucasian. That's the way that I came. So I came a little backwards. I didn't know that was me that I was reading about. Like my first book that I ever really got on it was a book called by Rosalind Mills, which was Who Cooked the Last Supper? And then from there I went to The Dark Mother by Dr. Lucia and then The Great Cosmic Mother. So I was reading those three, like my flagship, and even though they hit on some of the Afrocentric stuff, I was just picking up things like I knew. I was just picking up. And I came the back way. So from there, I met another, you know, wonderful sister, and Sister Sarude. And she, and just from there, I was able to put a whole lot of pieces together because I came the opposite way, and she was one that helped me kind of, you know, bring both sides together and mix it toward the dark goddess. But I came the opposite, and being, just for me, being the way that I came the opposite, I think that it gave me, and this is just me, a better insight on it because I knew that those goddesses and all those other cultures, while they were still parts of me, they were still me. So I just came the opposite way because I didn't start Afrocentric first. But I mean, it's been a wonderful journey. It's just been a wonderful journey. And I'm not ashamed for coming that way because I hear some brothers and some other people too have such problems with other goddesses of other hues or other colors, and you know, reading or you know their books or going to their seminars. But for me,
right,
I came that way. So I can't really dog it, but I do dog it when they, you know, try to leave out and keep that archetypal stuff on there. But I can't really dog it because that's the way that I came, and that's the way that brought me back to who I was. And now I'm able to, you know, pick out the dark goddess and all these religions. But that's just the way that I came. So I agree with the first sister that spoke, Queen Goddess, on that one.
Yes. I think the way I came about things is basically I just really started knowing things. I just came here knowing things. And my mother, she always had statues of Mary. She had, really when I look at it now, she had a statue of Kuan Yin and a glass encasement. And we had to clean these every Saturday, her whatnot, she called them. But she was very serious about these things. This was her altar, and I didn't know. We didn't know that, you know. But as I said, I came up Catholic, and one thing in the Catholic Church is Mary. And nine times out of everything, all the celebration is about Mary, more than Jesus. So there were things that I didn't consciously at that time equate it to the dark goddess, and all I knew is I came up in a household that said that I could do anything I wanted to do, and I never knew that I couldn't. And when I got into studying the Bible, that's it. And I didn't study the Bible until I was in my 20s, because in Catholic schools you don't study the Bible like that. And so I didn't really begin to study the Bible until I was in my 20s, because I'm trying to figure out why does all these religions or all these viewpoints of who God is, and why isn't it just one? And so that kind of took me on a journey. But every place I went, the force that was pushing me to go forward intimidated men, and I didn't even know that. You know, because in the household that I came up, I was told I could do anything. I never was told I couldn't do this because I was a woman. But now there were other subliminal things going on in our household that was undermining some things. And that kind of took me off track. And it really, as I began to get a lot older, and after I got ordained, that's when I began to just wake up. Because once I started getting ordained and started, you know, reading all the things you're supposed to do as a pastor, and I began to say, hey, this is about me, and this is all over. And then there were things that I knew, I just knew, as a kid that began to fit together, and then I began to understand, well, this is a puzzle. So then it helped me to understand this is scattered. So then I started studying everything. And what I grew up in was the European way. So that's where I started first, and I found her. And that led me back trying to find out through language where, when you say, well, you study in Hebrew or you're studying Arabic, and then I'm coming up in Catholic Church, so we didn't even speak the Mass in English. It was in Latin. And when you start studying words, you go to Latin. You found Latin this, Latin that, and Latin Spanish and Latin, I mean, French and German. People be really surprised to learn to decode the Bible. You have to know German. And that kind of made me, you know, it was just taking me all over. And she was there. And then when I got on the computer and met Mommy Sarood, and first I came in contact with the Sankofa daughters, then I began to, like, put all this in a better picture. And it just began to flood. Things were just flooding. You know, the journey is really an adventure. If you like adventure, it's an adventure. I mean, they got some of these shows on TV now. It was just an adventure. And it still is. Because the adventure, we're constantly changing. It will never stop changing. That wheel will never stop rolling.
Wow, it's just interesting to hear the different stories and everything from everyone as to how they came to Goddess, you know, and they are aware and now awareness of it, especially from the point of view as a Black woman, because for us, in a lot of aspects, it's a big shock when we find out all of this.
Very much so.
Yeah. I mean, it's like you knew something wasn't right in your spirit, but then when you're confronted with that and you see that picture and that's you, you're like, well, hold on. What? And then there's another side of it, that responsibility and that accountability. I'm not talking about necessarily to other people, but to yourself. Because then we have to look at, on a whole, what role do we play in these situations and these circumstances that Black women find themselves in? If you're the creator of everything and everything came from you, then nothing can be without your permission or without your energy being put into it.
Exactly. So why is things the way they are today? Now, who created that mess? And that's very important, because the one thing that's important to understand, if you do perennial and annual, one was here and one was made from the other. And what you're really breathing in and not really understanding, that you're it's just like you're eating foods. So we talk about, you know, try to be conscious about the foods we're eating, because some of the foods are foods that are not really real foods.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're all the nutrients have been taken from them, but it looks like it's good food, but it's actually, when you test it down to the biochemical level, it's not really helping the body. It's really actually hurting the body. So it's, in other words, there's something here that's the real thing, and then there's something here that's an imitation. And the thing here is that we have to understand that if we're the creators, how did all this stuff happen? And I was talking to you earlier, and I told you, well, we created it. And so now that's a hard thing to swallow, but, yeah, we did. Because, see, a man, he'll say he want to do something. And if you were the man, the sister going to do everything in her power to make it so. Now, why does he need you? Why can't he do what he needs to do on his own?
Because he needs to.
But why?
We made it that way. And in terms of that, I was thinking, too, about what are we going to do about what we've done?
Hmm. Right.
Exactly.
Right.
You know, so now we found this information. Right. Now we found this information. We know that we played a role in it. So now what are we going to do? What are we going to do to fix this situation? And from my perspective, the first step is sharing this information with other sisters and forming these sacred sisterhoods.
Mm-hmm.
So that we can start doing the work on ourselves, you know, spreading the information and doing the work on ourselves and that bond that we're supposed to have with each other as sisters.
See, we got to come to a point where we stop blaming someone outside of ourselves. If you blame
mm-hmm.
something outside
right.
of yourselves, then that renders you useless and you're weak. You can't control something outside of yourself. But if you look at what you can control, and that is self, then you're on the right spot. But see, that's what they don't want you to do.
Right.
I want to add this in too, because I'm more of the proactive warrior type as well. But I and this is just something that I would recommend, because this is what I did when I came into this stuff, or you know really got it, not just like the head knowledge of the stuff, but really started to really get it. I was very, very angry, very, very upset, just in rage. As a matter of fact, even went through depression behind this stuff, because I was able to see and have a clear understanding of just how our temples were taken down. And, that's a whole nother story, but just how in all areas of life our power was usurped. And what I had to do, just me, I had to process a lot of that anger because it was anger externally, but it was also anger internally. So
right.
I had to balance it out, and it took me, as a matter of fact, it took me like a year to balance that out, and for me to be more in warrior mode, proactive mode, than warrior mode, just pissed and upset at everybody
mm-hmm.
because this happened
mm-hmm.
to me. Or this happened to my ancestors. So I, for me, and I would tell the sisters that too, because this information is very shocking. It is very shocking what was done to our ancient mothers.
It's
just horrific. But I had to process that rage. So I went through times of just being pissed at black women, definitely pissed at black men, pissed at white men, just pissed. So I just had to process that rage and utilize it a different way. And now, you know, I'm able to create destruction and construction. But I was more
go
in the
ahead,
destruction
Gally.
Mode. So I had to balance it out. So I agree. For me, when some women come into this stuff, they're going to be very, very upset and angry, especially with the brothers that they see every day that still don't want to, you know, honor the goddess. But I had to process that rage and find out that no one has to honor it. I'm the walking honor of her.
That's correct. And that's it. That's
correct.
And see, and that's the thing. You have to know that. You have to be the walking honor. And as you walk, that's going to change the way that you interact with things. And then when you interact with them in a more positive way, then you'll be changing them. You'll be turning it around and setting it straight for yourself. But it is a process.
Yes, it is.
And you got to have all of those emotions there in order to get to this other part of it. I mean, that's you can't evade that. You know, in that grieving, in that depression, in that anger, like you see a strong power there too, and
right.
it's a destructive power. But if it's destructive, if that's the part of you, you see, well, okay, I'm depressed, I can't get out of bed, I'm mad at everybody, well, am I going to be like this forever? Well, then you make a choice. Because, see, at each level, you have to have an ideal. The depression makes you have an ideal. And then that depression, it actually, whether people understand it, it's giving you a way out.
Right, exactly.
So it's... Every process is needful, and you got to go through all of that. I mean, because if you're really doing your study, you are going to be beyond pissed. You know, you just will be. And then you have to, okay, I can't, and some people get lost there. You know?
Right.
So you can get stuck. But if you don't want to get stuck, you have to move forward. Because as it is, it's changing. And it's a wheel. It's constantly turning. You can stay there if you want to. It's going to leave you. And then as you go through this and you get, it's like on the other side of the rainbow is your pot of gold. Then you get the gold. Then you understand, okay, all I have to do is do me. And collectively, as we do ourselves, then we're more powerful in a collective. But if you have one person who hasn't done me, who doesn't do that process, then they're going to be the kink in the wheel. And it's so important. You have to do the process. You have to come back and understand that if you're the creator, you can create good and bad. Now, you can consciously go along, or you can unconsciously go along. But believe me, you are the only thing that creates anything on this three dimension.
Let me jump in right there with what you just said. We consciously can create good or bad.
Mm-hmm.
We touched on this earlier, but we need to speak about the word and what came before the word, which was thought. So we need to talk about our minds and thought. And I think Queen Goddess spoke on it a little while ago, but it's very important that what we think about, because the power that we hold, whatever we think about and whatever we give our energy to, we manifest that in every way, shape, and form.
Whether consciously or not.
Exactly.
And all that is like, you know, people that deal with me, I'll kind of use Bible terminology. Because, see, I know what it is. And it basically says the people die for a lack of knowledge. Well, conscious is understanding the knowledge of all. Unconscious is not, is having the knowledge of all but not knowing that you have it. So you don't know to use it. So it's like, what's that? It says a mind is a terrible thing to waste. I mean, see, you do things consciously or unconsciously. You know, if you decide I'm not gonna ever learn how to read, then that's a conscious thing. But you might not really be doing it in a conscious. But if you're not going to learn the language or learn how to read, then it can be a subconscious thing too. If you're out stealing cars, doing everything that you shouldn't do, and then you wake up one day and say, I'm homeless, you know, because I don't want to make everybody think that homeless people, but there are some people who has consciously done things throughout their life to be homeless.
That's very true.
And so that's what we got to understand, the thought, you know, everything is made from a thought. You know, like the word in the Bible is predestined, which means pre-planned, that there was a plan. Somebody used the thought, put it down in word, and made it a plan.
And because plenty of people look at that word and manifest that, that can be their reality, especially when you're looking at certain things that are in Revelations and a lot of this propaganda they're trying to put out about 2012.
And how does the word manifest become so predominant in our lives? But I just want to say this about what I know we can do to help change it in addition to changing ourselves. Each one of us generally comes in contact with youth. We bring them into the world. We carry them in our temples.
Mm-hmm.
We teach them.
Mm-hmm.
And through them, that is one of the greatest ways we can transform planet.
That
is what we put in them, what we awaken in them. When they are in our temples, when we are bringing them forward, what we are saying, what we are feeling, the same vibration we are creating, and creating beings to help to bring in, or not to help, but to bring into existence what it is that we are calling forth. And we need to be clear about what it is that we are calling forth.
Correct.
What kind of a place, universe, wombiverse, that we want it to be from henceforth.
And
I want to commend the young sister, Black Wombiverse. You're fabulous at 28. I look forward to experiencing you at 38. And also,
really?
Mama Sarood, who I have never met in person, but my encounters, few encounters with her over the internet, she is definitely carrying a strong banner and energy for teaching of the goddess vibration.
Oh, yes, she is.
I humbly say thank you to, you know, what you said about what I'm attempting to do here, what I am doing here. And as far as Mommy Sarood, wow. Goddess Networks, Mommy Sarood, Diva Mama Tanya, Pastor Flowers, Lady Phoenix, these are some of the sisters that I was listening to that kind of sort of, they answered the questions that my spirit was pushing me to look for. And when I heard them speak and when I saw the things that Goddess Networks was putting on YouTube and heard the things that Sarood and Diva Mama Tanya, and I've listened to some of the shows that you have as well, Queen Goddess Yolkis Rasa, all of this information sparked something within me and made me know exactly what it was I was supposed to be doing right now. So that's why I'm hoping that by us being here doing these type of roundtable discussions, that it's sparking and giving other sisters that same divine spark that I had to go find themselves.
And I agree, sis, and that's why my page is a network, and that's why it says the Goddess Network, because it is truly a network, and women, we're just fabulous in all facets. It doesn't matter what job or whatever, you know, the gift or talent of the woman is, but I've always been blessed also, and that's why I promote sister circles whenever I can. I've always been blessed by the wisdom of many women, regardless if, you know, some had a different view or a different take on it. I've just always been blessed, and it has always helped me to come into like my wholeness as a woman and walking in any type of power by listening to the stories and the tales and the interpretation of other women. So I agree 100%.
Wow. All right. I want to get everyone's take on how important it is that the Black woman knows her connection to Earth and the cosmos, and what place does ritual and ceremony hold in our lives? So either one, anyone can speak first, whether it be, let's go with Pastor Flowers.
Well, repeat that question again, and I'm going to go try to answer
it,
you asked it.
I'm gonna respond to that. You can close my mic. But just yesterday, speaking of Diva Mama, I got an email, and she sent out some rituals for 2/10. For the blue moon. And it was like, I said thank you to her because some of it I knew and I needed to be reminded of. Some of it was new. And it was exciting to just be connected to her energy. And ritual is you get up every day, you go to work, or you drink your coffee, or you meditate.
That's a ritual.
Get on Blog Talk, and ritual is habit, repetition.
Right.
That's
and
right.
Forming patterns within yourself that are going to empower you. And if you draw upon rituals from antiquity, such as using the fire, which is something she mentioned, which is something I love to do, to transform things. As a matter of fact, I'm going to put this charge upon all of you to take the fire, become more acquainted with the fire, and to help use the fire to help transform our current situation, and the fire being one of the elements that we have created for our various purposes, and that is one of them, transform, to clear away, to renew, to allow new growth to come forward. Ritual is who we are.
Wow. Well, ritual, the word ritual is round. It comes, all these words come off another word. It is circle. It is something. You said the beginning and the end at the is what your title of the show is.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a cycle. It's what you're doing, like she explained it. I mean, you're doing this habitually every day. So if you're doing something as a ritual every day and it's not blessing you, then that means you got to redo your ritual so it will bless you. So it is habit, but that's the problem. We got to learn the right rituals because we're doing rituals anyway, whether we understand it or not. But the thing of it is, we have to do it in a way that it begins to bless everything, bless the earth, well, bless ourselves, because, I mean, we're the ones, if anything, that's destroying the earth. So then you have to basically educate yourself and change the way you do your rituals so that you'll begin to bless the earth. And you and the earth be one. But see, we live in a system that's artificial and not natural, and it tries to teach you to go against your own natural self. So you're doing a ritual every day to basically to your downfalling. Or you could do a ritual to lift yourself up. It's up to you. I mean, but we have to learn again from baby steps what ritual is and how to do this. Because if we have dysfunctional homes, well, these kids that we admire you because you're 20-something years old, because most 20-something years old, they're doing something that is causing pain to themselves and the families that love them. But then again, they learned it from home. So like you, Queen said earlier, you have to go back to even in the womb, the things you think. And even before the womb, you have to prepare the ground to receive the seed. And if that ground isn't prepared, you know, even in the womb, it's going to be hard. Because if you're speaking and feeling a certain way while you're, you know, in that womb, you know, when you plant certain things, you have to check the ground to see if the right type of nutrients are in there for that particular plant. So you have to prepare the ground, and that's what we need to do first before we receive the seed. Because if you receive the seed in a deficient ground, it's not going to produce all it can. It'll produce, but it might not produce all the best kind of crop. Whereas if you fix the soil, if you prepare the soil to receive the seed, then that seed begins to germinate and get all the needed rituals from there. It's just like we're having babies nowadays, and we're having babies with all kinds of problems right now. But we weren't receiving these seeds with the right understanding of what we were doing, and so we don't know how to change our habit because we continue to do the same thing we did prior to us being pregnant. So that ground has to be prepared before it can even receive the seed. And then if you took that much care to prepare the ground, and I give people Psalms 21:23 that are Christian. And not everybody comes up in the Christian religion, and that's okay. But Psalms 23, to be a shepherd, what that shepherd had to do was go and prepare that land for the sheep to graze, because there were all kinds of things on the ground, and some of the things were detrimental to the sheep. So you have to prepare that ground first. And if you take that much time to prepare the ground, then you're going to receive the seed, because that's a holy seed. And then you can begin to, while you receive that seed, as you're carrying that seed within you, you are feeling and thinking the right things to give that seed the right nutrients that it needs. So then when you birth that baby out, that baby, see, these babies that's supposed to be birthed out, and some of them that are being birthed right now, they're going to come here. They're going to be, you're 28, how about they're coming here 1 and 2 years old, and they're going to fully talk. And they're going to be reading at 1 and 2 when we get this right. But if you're just going to, you know, it's weeds and everything else, and you got to watch what we call weeds nowadays because we don't know what this, you know, we're so far away from the earth, we don't know what's good and what's bad, you know. It's a lot that we have got to learn in the adage of the seed in the ground and preparing and us changing things. We have to change the way we think. And the only way you could change, you got to put something different in to get something different out. You can't continually do the same thing and expect a different outcome. You have to change. And so we have to give right information now.
Well, I agree with both of what the sisters just said. They basically have summed it all up, so I really don't even need to say anything. So I agree, and the sister just spoke, you know, as far as our relationship with the earth is concerned, the sisters both just spoke, and Pastor Fowles just spoke about the cycle, the birth, life, and death cycle, and we see that, you know, represented in the triple goddess, the mother, maiden, crone. And, you know, the earth, it just sustains us from the food we have, you know, to the herbs that we even use in medicine. So it's paramount that we as women get back to the love of the earth and, you know, just all the wisdom that the earth can teach us. And it just provides, the earth just provides everything to sustain life. There is a book I wanted to recommend. It is an older book, and some it is out of print, so that's why I wanted to speak to the sisters about getting it. But it is called From Teepee to Skyscraper, and it is a book that, you know, entails or talks about women as the first architects, and it goes into great deal about ritual. This is why I brought this book up, and that in indigenous cultures, it was ritual for the girls to build their own living dwelling places.
That's right.
That is what the ritual was.
What's the name of the book?
From Teepee to Skyscraper. And that's what the ritual was. So those women could not build dwelling places if they did not have any type of respect for the earth, if they didn't understand the earth and all the things that, you know, the earth provides for us that sustains life. So I agree, and ritual is just ritual for me is just key because all things go in a circle anyway. If you can get on the circle, whatever your circle of life is, and stay on it, you will see, you know, your life change 100%. I've seen it myself even from, you know, just working with the moon cycles, that, you know, certain rituals that I did on certain days, you know, produce certain things. So ritual for me is key, and I will say this, and, you know, I'll get off the phone too, that you will eventually get to you will eventually get to a place in ritual where you just become the ritual, where a lot of the props that you feel that you need, you will no longer need. You will take those elements, and you will make those elements mirror things or aspects of yourself.
Right.
And that's where I am now. And I enjoy ritual. I enjoy ritual, period. I have, you know, a bath ritual every night. And I would encourage women to do soaking and bath rituals every night to get clear and focused and, you know, release any type of stress. But ritual for me is key. Ritual for me is key. So thank you all. Thank you all. I do need to get going as well. But I always enjoy listening to what the other sisters bring, and I enjoy listening to what the other sister had brought, Goddess Queen, because she was just speaking on fire, and that is where the Great Mother is leading me to do some more work with that particular energy. So that was like confirmation for me.
We need that. Yeah.
So, thank you all. Thank you all. A great deal, and I always enjoy listening to the wisdom of the sisters.
I love you, Goddess Network.
Thank you so much. Definitely. All right. All right, our call-in number is 646-716-7675. Please, you know, give us a call, you know, if you have a question or a comment or just if you want to just say hey, you know, so we can send some positive vibes and love out there to everybody. So, again, that call-in number is 646-716-7675. I just want to give a shout-out to everybody in the chat room. The chat room is 13 people deep, and 13 is a very strong goddess number.
Yes, it is.
So, you know, I really didn't expect that many people to, you know, be listening today because, you know, it's New Year's Day, and, you know, some people were... You know, went out last night and partied and everything, so I didn't know if anybody was going to be listening. I thought more people would be listening in archive, but I'm glad that you all are in the chat room listening. But, you know, give us a call. Again, that call-in number is 646-716-7675. We would love to, you know, hear from you, hear your thoughts on what we've been discussing today. Let's see. Wow, this switchboard is okay. Okay, so we were talking about earlier when you and I were talking, Pastor Flowers, we mentioned money.
Mm-hmm.
And you were talking about how everything, every symbol or every shape that has a curve is a depiction of a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And see, when you start, when we started discussing money and how money has feminine energy, you started talking about the symbol for money. Can you touch on that?
Well, the symbol generally for money is like you see two strikes in an S. Well, the S is the snake, which is feminine, which is always represented the female. And the 11 is the high priestess. And the thing here, money is you. We are money. We're whatever, because everything is about the sacred sexuality and reproducing. Everything, to have money and power, that means you get the best of the best. And if you're alpha male, you're trying to get, you want to breed with the best of the best.
Mm-hmm.
And so money represents goddess. It always has. And if you get a book on symbologies, and it'll tell you that, you know, that S, the S is always the snake. It always represented the snake.
Now, I'm going to ask you some questions about some stuff we talked about long ago when I first started talking to you. You know, that was so long ago. You and Diva Mama and Sarood and, man, wow, the conversations I have heard you guys on, or you queens on, rather, because you're not guys, but you were talking about, I remember one day you've made quite a few comments. One of the famous Pastor Flowers quote is, the mother and the whore is the same thing.
Damn,
that's not the only one I'm going to call y'all on, but I want you to touch on that. The mother and the whore is the same thing. What does that mean?
I'm a mother and a whore, too. You know, I deal a lot with Christian people, so I'll come up to them and I'll tell them who made the whore and who made the mother. And they'll stop and they'll think and they'll say, well, man. In a sense, he gave them those names. I mean, to be a mother, you have to have a child, right?
Mm-hmm. Well,
which
in
comes
their
first,
eyes, yes.
Which comes second.
Not really.
Well, well, you really do. In the adage of that, of using that ideal, using them words together. The mother... she comes first. Okay, he makes, this is the good girl syndrome. She's the good girl is the mother. The bad girl is the whore. Now, we got to go back and start using etymology and things on these words and getting to understand, you know, that this was the whore. So a whore is a dramatic terminology for that. But it had to do with the temple priestess.
Uh-huh. See, I'm about to get my book of the Women's Encyclopedia of Myths and Secrets.
and so she, the man, he calls her that, but he holds the power in calling her that, but she is that. And so they divided things, and there was reasons that they divided this, the mother and the whore, because it was, it kind of, what it did is like women in the matriarchal system, if they were able to choose who they wanted to have a child with. That was their choice, not like it is today where the man, he chooses you. I mean, we acquiesce and agree with it, but we don't really, well, in nature, the female, when it comes time to mate, she doesn't just mate with any male. She tries to mate with the most dominant male who has the good genes.
Mm-hmm.
And she can sense that. And then the men go through a thing of fighting and whoever wins, you know. And so then she generally goes with that because she wants to make sure, ensure, the word ensure, that her bloodline keeps going on. And if it's sickly, it's not going to keep going on, is it? So she had something within her to really know that. She could see through to see if he was sick. And the thing here is that we have to understand that we are mothers. I mean, a wife, you know, a wife is considered to be, you know, she's the mother, she's the wife, she's his prostitute. We've heard all these terminologies used. But the thing that the man did was divide us from that. And in essence, we're both. And that's the division between women that we have right now. Because you got the wife feeling that she's in the best place with the man by being his wife. But then he goes in secret, he tells his wife, oh, that's a whore. Then he goes at night in the dark, in the dark, and he go in the light too, but just kind of telling the story.
He goes
in the dark, and then he tells the whore, oh, she doesn't understand me. She don't know what to do. So he gives this whore a certain amount of power, you know, because he's building her up to make her feel that she's better than the wife. Then he tells the wife, well, she's dirty and she could have AIDS. You know, he's controlling both of these powers. But the people that he's controlling, the mother and the whore, don't realize that they're the power.
Mm-hmm.
And they're in agreement with him, whether they realize this, to basically transmute this power and use it in the way that he so chooses, instead of you using your own power as you know you should use it, you know. And he keeps everything divided, and that also represents quantum physics, because in quantum physics it's particles, and it talks about how every little thing comes together and make a whole. And so these things, I use that terminology, you know, just to kind of tell a story, because when you hear the story from the Christian perspective, you really have to break these things down. They made good girls, they made bad girls. They turned the good goddess into bad demons. And you even got to take and go back and understand that word demon and divi and where that came from. You know, that's why it's important for us to go through other cultures.
What does demon mean?
Please?
What does demon mean?
Well, divi, it had to do with Bahamut, who was the devil, who was the dark goddess.
I'm laughing because it's just funny. Everything that has to do with dark, black,
or Devi or Divas or Diva means evil, bad, or devil.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just funny how whenever something new comes to take over, they have to make what was there before them seem evil or bad in order to take hold of it. So it's almost like you have to turn everything the opposite. If you're told that something is bad, you need to go research that, because that's probably what used to be before what is now currently wide known.
We took a class in Judaic studies, and the professor in there, he told the class, he said there's not one white person in the Bible, not one. And he said, if you're going to tell a lie, you have to go back and you got to tell it at the beginning. So you got to make Eve bad at the very beginning. And then you can carry that storyline all the way through. That's where Reverend Majadi Baruti, he did a series on Paul. You know, and so you have to carry these stuff. And it doesn't matter if you're using the Christian Bible or the Quran,
right,
because the Quran
right.
has it in there too.
Right.
Because really the Quran and the Bible are the same thing.
Right, it's the same book. The thing I want to touch on with that is, you know what, I'm going to call Reverend Majadi Baruti out, because I know he's still in this chat room, and I know he's about to type in, rolling on the floor, laughing my ass off or something in the chat room. But go ahead and call in right quick, 646-716-7675. I want him to touch on that Paul versus Jesus, because those two people taught a different, they had different teachings, and
mm-hmm.
We're not told that. Most people
mm-hmm.
are not told that. But if you look at the Bible and you separate what Jesus was teaching versus what Paul was teaching, Paul did not like women, and Jesus revered and loved women.
Mm.
And that's very pertinent, because for people that call themselves Christian, but yet in most Christianity circles, they really do not allow or don't like when women become pastors and preachers and this and that, especially in
in Christian churches.
Yeah, but I was going to say, Catholics. That's the word I was looking at, too.
Yes.
Catholicism, the woman cannot be a preacher. Come on now. In Judaism, you don't see a woman being a rabbi.
Well, they haven't, but they are now.
They are now.
They have been for the last 50 years, and people don't understand that either. They have been secretly, it's a lot of rabbis that are women. Here in Cincinnati last year, they just ordained the first black one.
Mm. All right, we have Reverend Majadi Baruti on the line. For those who are not familiar with you, first of all, peace, brother, how you doing?
Peace. I am goddess blessed. I am black goddess blessed, dark goddess blessed, triple goddess blessed. I am blessed to be in your presence. I am honored to be in your presence,
Welcome to the Black Womaniverse.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you. powerful. And you know what? For this to be impromptu, you pulled this together pretty good. I'm serious. I'm talking to another friend on another chat, and and she's saying like this is like really good stuff. This is like great. This is great broadcasting. Period. You know, as an old school broadcast, this is great broadcasting.
Oh, wow.
This is the paradigm shift taking place.
Yes, it is.
And Spirit told me that it was my job to do this on 1110.
Crucial.
And I initially set it up to do it at 1110 at 11 a.m.
Right.
But I had to change that.
And I was promoting it, too. I was promoting it.
Yeah, I saw you put an update on my page on Facebook. Thank you.
No problem. I was like, uh-oh. Let me change this quick.
My sister threw me a little curveball last night. She wanted to, her and her fiancé wanted to go out, and, that was her first time out after having her new bundle of joy.
Okay.
So who am I to turn her down for that? Plus, I love babies, and he's so adorable and so cute.
Yeah, babies are what this is all about, even.
Yeah.
You know, It is that we are this vibration that we're moving into in 2010 with the blue moon situation, and it happened on New Year's Eve, and I could, before this started happening, I could feel something happening, and I couldn't quite put my finger on it because I understand that though I am praising and preaching the Most High Goddess now, I am I'm opening up my vibration for her, and so my intuition from the feminine spirit within me is growing massively. But still, I understand there are some things I still can't see yet because I'm still learning. I'm a man amongst the Creator, you know, standing in the vibration of the Creator, and she is constantly teaching me. But I could feel something happening. This is a new vibration we're in. It's almost like we just like someone turned the light on.
Mm-hmm.
And 2010, I am calling it our year of health and wealth.
Mm.
We need to move towards not only higher consciousness, but I want to help to promote all of the goddesses who are doing work, Lady Phoenix dealing with womb wellness, vagina healing. Anything that deals with that powerful sexual energy that is controlled, brothers, by a woman. That's her energy. She controls that. Your best bet to learn properly from it is to submit. Just do what you're told. Everything will work out fine. I have also run into a young blood. I'm not going to give his name because I don't know if he's prepared. He's actually made himself public already, but I'm not going to. I don't want to put his name out there like that. But he's a brother that is having some issues now with a. I'm just going to go ahead and say it like this: the revolutionaries. The Pan-African nationalists, or the Black nationalist revolutionaries, particularly the younger folk, are having a battle right now. There are some of the young bloods who want to praise you, Creator. He wants to praise you, and he does work towards that effort.
Mm-hmm.
And he is now getting blasted from these brothers. They're calling them all kinds of names, and they're saying that he's on some kind of feminist tip and things like that. I'm like, no,
what you're talking about. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And so, I had an opportunity to talk with the brother, and I want to work with him. Powerful vibration, and to be young doing that, I'm loving it. I'm 40. I talk to brothers my age; they look at me all cockeyed, crazy. Like, nigga, what are you talking about? Black woman is goddess. Black woman is God.
Let's make it real plain and simple. Let's break it down to basics. Let's just be real basic.
Okay.
If you have a woman and you're with this woman and you revere this woman and you make sure that she has everything that she needs and everything that she wants, she gonna bust her back to make sure she please you. Why wouldn't you want to do that?
Come on, preach. Exactly.
Why wouldn't a man want to do that?
Insanity, disease.
Exactly. You've got to be crazy if you don't want to please her, because when you please her,
you please you.
Oh, thank you.
And not only that, the entirety, I have said it, I say it over and over again, I preach it. This is something I believe, not only believe it, but I can prove it. I can find there's archaeological evidence proof. You, the African woman, is the savior, messiah for our people. And until we grasp that, we've been looking in the sky for some white guy with a miniskirt on to come flying out the sky, you know, with the little golden chariots and all this kind of thing, rainbows and sunbeams and all this foolishness. And
a golden skirt and rainbows.
Right. I'm like, yeah, I'll just leave that alone, you know, whatever. But this is what we're looking for. We're looking for this dude to come flying in the sky to save us. And we as men, we lie next to her. We 17 years ago, I gave the Creator a bottle, and I rocked her to sleep, and I tucked her in, and I read her stories. 17 years ago, now she is 17, and she's looking at going to college. My daughter, Jamila, I fed the Creator. Do you know what I mean? I have been in her presence in all aspects, spiritually, intellectually, sexually, physically. I'm working in the field of economics and finances. You are right next to the Creator of all things, and you turn away from her. Black man, it is time. We have to turn back toward her. And sisters, now it is time for you to demand. 2010 is about demanding. I think 2009
Hello?
We were struggling. Mm-hmm. We were kind of getting our motion. We get the motion back. Now it is 2010, and it is you are placing it as it is. This is what it is. It is going to be. Period. There is no. We're not taking shorts. And my job as Ampu, the dog, the guard over
the
temple over Offset. My job is I'm going to preach your word. I've got that war horn and I've got my machete and I'm standing in front of the gates. And if someone tries to disturb this temple, I'm taking their head. Period. That's my job.
That's the way it's supposed to be.
That's my job. And brothers, I need your help. Brothers who are listening, who may listen to the show, I need your help, man. I need your help, man. Come on.
You know, you said the word demand, and when she's not going to demand. She's just going to be. And
we're not even going to say anything. We're just going to be, and we're going to do.
There it is. Okay.
And that's
excellent.
Really what it is, because you don't demand. You don't. That's the force. God isn't a God of force, coerce, or manipulation. So she's not going to do that. She's not going to demand it. She's just going to be.
Okay.
And she's the leader. So if you're going to get to live on this earth, you're going to follow.
There it is. I just got goosebumps when you said that.
Because if not, you won't be.
That's right. That's right.
We're not going to be doing all this stuff, debating and all that stuff. That just wastes time.
Okay.
That's not a part of our habits of debating.
Okay.
Because we were telepathic, we didn't debate. We knew.
Right, right. Brother Majadi, I want you to speak on the Peter versus Jesus in terms of what they taught.
Paul versus,
I say Peter.
Paul. Oh, no.
That's on my mind. Paul versus...
See, you're messing up. Okay. Wow.
So Paul versus Jesus.
Okay.
Shut up, Majadi. Just go with
it's going to take a minute to get
Paul
over this and realize
Jesus.
That.
Keep it going.
Just keep it going, boy. Keep it going.
Just keep it over. Just keep it going.
I did that series on, it was called The Black Goddess in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And I just went through, and it was really basic because there's so many intricate things there. But dealing with Paul, when I got to the section with Paul versus, and I knew it was going to cause some controversy. And I don't know if you all listened. You had the brother called in. I was like, wow, okay. All right. And he tried. I have to honor the brother. He tried his best, but he just couldn't prove it. If you read what Paul says, Yeshua was always praising his mama.
Mm-hmm.
He was always praising. Okay, you have the one story about him.
Praising his wife, too.
Right, exactly, and his wife as well. He says one of the last things he says, and I think it's very powerful, and people kind of pass over it in biblical teaching. He's on the cross, according to the story, and he points to Mary, and he never says which one.
Right.
Because both of them were there now. You know, they weren't dead, they were there. So he points at me, he said, "Behold thy mother." But then he turns to the male deity and says, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. Forgive me if my Hebrew is bad. He says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? So he's questioning the male God, but then he's pointing to his mama and saying, this is your mother. Then there's the story about the woman who is supposedly being charged with adultery, and he sends the guys on their way saying, well, you know, which one of you guys have never done a sin before? You know, and really he even questions whether this was a sin at all that she committed. And all he says is to just go and sin no more. That's it. He's constantly praising woman, constantly. He's talking about being born of the mother and this, that, and the other. I mean, just constantly. You go to Paul. The teaching is mathematically opposite. It's almost as though he's cussing at Jesus. I mean, like, he's just, he talks about women have to sit down in the church and shut up. He says basically that the man is the head of the woman, and the woman, she just... nothing. I mean, he just constant, and they contradict each other. So I say that in Judeo-Christianity currently, and I'll get to your question, in Judeo-Christianity, they're not talking about, it shouldn't be called Christianity, it should be called Paulianity, because you're preaching from Paul's position. You don't give a damn about Jesus.
Constantianity.
Paulianity. I mean, it has nothing to do with Jesus, nothing at all.
Right, right.
Okay, your questions, my question?
Well, my question is, according to the Bible, when Jesus was put into a tomb or whatever, and right, that according to that story, that mythology, when Jesus supposedly arose again, no, when they put him in, when they buried him or what have you, he had the women tend to him.
Right, the women tend to him.
My third eye and my spirit is telling me that according to what I'm reading, that Jesus was a priest of our set.
That's what I believe.
Or Yeshua was a priest of our set. And
that's
that there's a difference between 12 disciples and 12 apostles.
Yes.
And the 12 apostles were women. The 12 disciples were men. The 12 disciples followed Peter. The 12 apostles followed were Jesus' priestesses, and he was a priest. He was learning from them.
Right. Right. And then even the symbology of, the powerful symbology of him going into a cave. The cave
being a symbol of a womb.
Right, symbol of a womb. And then the rope, and then he's, wait a minute, then he's wrapped in all white, which is an ancient Kemetic concept dealing with funerary rites, which was performed by women. I mean,
right.
And then he's found by women. I'm like, come on, this is so easy.
That's where I tell you, you can't never tell a whole lie. You only tell a half of it.
Mm-hmm. Even right. Down to what, to the, dang, what do they call it? I forgot my, the thing where they take the, they so-called drink the blood of Christ. And
communion.
Communion.
Yes.
That wine is a symbol of blood because that was something he was taught when he was an Essene.
And everybody knows that in Christianity, but be specific. What blood?
There it is.
Menstrual blood.
There it is.
That's it.
And then it's in a cup?
And there's
a cup is the womb. That's the womb.
I mean, it's just,
look at the book, The Blade. I mean, you can blade in a chalice.
The chalice. And this is repeated over and over again in not only Judeo-Christianity, but we find it in Al-Islam. We find it in the so-called Western religious thoughts. In Islam, they go to the Kaaba and they kiss this portion of it that looks exactly like, I mean, if it doesn't look like a vagina, nothing does. Okay, it looks exactly like a vagina. I'm thinking, are we not seeing this?
Flower, I hear you laughing because she and I just talked about this before the show.
Yes, and we have got to begin to really live this goddess culture.
Mm-hmm.
We have to live it. I want to create a. I'm working on trying to put together black goddess consciousness of study circles around the country, wherever, and you know it can be a mishmash of what I deliver, what Pastor Flower, whomever, whatever. It doesn't matter. Just as long as the information
is
out there.
And I'm definitely doing something here in Richmond, Virginia. So. If y'all are in the Virginia or surrounding areas, please contact me. I know Majati is in North Carolina. Pastor Flowers is in Ohio.
We can. I mean, Sarud is on the, what is she, in Missouri?
She's in Missouri. Bird is in Atlanta.
Thank you. We could take this entire country.
Mama Tanya
Diva Mama is in Atlanta as well.
Mm-hmm.
We got Lady Phoenix in Washington State.
Washington State,
In Seattle.
And this is what we've got to do. We've got to begin to push. Every little thing. If I've got something, I'm going to make sure it's delivered to you all. Of course, first of all, I got to get approval. make sure it's delivered to you all, and then we promote. We anything that you all are doing in the way of the goddess vibration and increasing and enhancing that vibration. I am bound, duty bound, as a man first and foremost, but as a priest as well. To promote and open my mouth and speak your holy names. That's what I'm supposed to do. And this is going to look different. What is happening here, this is the evidence. This particular program is evidence of what we are going to start looking like. We're going to live this, breathe this, walk this, talk this. That the black woman as goddess needs to be as household as BET video vixen concepts. We need to replace that. It needs to be just that. I mean, like, for instance, if I say BET to you, you immediately conjure up images of black women shaking and wriggling on television, naked on television, with men throwing money at them. It's immediate. It needs to be just that immediate. As soon as someone says black woman, goddess consciousness should be right there. Not separate, not you think of the black woman, and then, no, it's all part of who she is. Normal walking, talking, living, and so that's what it's going to call on. It's going to be for the sisters to just live it. You have to live goddess consciousness, not just discuss it and we have these great conversations and then we go to the house and no, live it. You are it. You are goddess, period. There is nothing else. That is you. It is you. It has always been about you. So I just want to thank you all for having me or making me come on. Let me say it like that. Making me come in. I am definitely honored to be in y'all's presence, and all I can say, praise her name. Praise her
all
name.
All right. We definitely thank you for what you do, Reverend Majority, and, you know, keep up the good work.
You are
definitely preaching and teaching, and I hope more brothers come in and listen to you, because in all honesty, that is who you are teaching. You're teaching the brothers.
Yes, exactly. I can't teach the sisters. I can't. All I do is kind of like I tell people, I just have a horn and I just blow the horn and it's time to wake up. But I'm not telling you what you are. You just are. I'm making everyone else.
Well, you're sharing.
I can't teach you that. You know, there's no way I can teach you that.
You're sharing your experience and your awakening. And that's all you really can, and that's
right.
The divine journey there alone. And you're trying to tell the brothers, well, she's not trying to kill you. I'm living proof. I'm not dead.
Right. Here I am. Hello.
Nursing me. She's loving me. She's not trying to hurt me.
Right.
And what she's asking for belongs to her.
Well, thank you. Thank you. You're just getting what is naturally in your vibration to have. So thank you very much, Pastor Flowers and Seek and everybody. Thank you all very much for honoring me to be in your all's presence. Thank you all very much.
We're
thank
honored.
You, brother.
Too. I love you all. Peace.
Love you, too. All right. Wow. Y'all, this energy is coming. Y'all just need to, you know, we need to be ready for it, and we need to be willing to do the work. Wow. I wanted to let everyone know that I am going to be having a small retreat or meetup for sisters at my personal home, because I have the extra space. I have plenty of space here at my home, and I have a salon area that's attached to my home that's used for salon purposes, but it also has a big open space that I'll be using for conferences, meetups, or what have you. So around the spring equinox, I will be hosting a women's retreat or a women's workshop or whatever you want to call it, but it will consist of no more than 12 sisters. Myself will make the 13th. So if you are interested, please get in contact with me. The sisters are more, you can sleep here at the home. We will be cooking together. We'll be doing a lot of things together. And during that retreat, we will also be going out to a cabin for one night to be with nature. And, of course, ritual will be done while we're out in nature at this cabin. So, and I'll be giving some more details on a private conference call in reference to this. So if you are interested, please get in contact with me. You can get in contact with me through Blog Talk. You can get in contact with me through blackwomaniverse.webs.com or the social network, which is the Ning site, and that site is blackwomanshealth.ning.com, or you can email me at blackwomb@divinechemistry.com, and chemistry is spelled K-H-E-M-E-S-T-R-Y. My plans is that it will be very low cost. I'm thinking around $100 for 3 days, and that $100 will include your food for the entire weekend, and we'll be renting minivans so we can get around together and do things as a group, and it will also include the cabin that we'll be using one night. So, again, if you are interested, the amount of people that will be participating will be limited because this will be the first time that I'm doing this, and I will also plan to do one for the summer solstice as well. But definitely get in contact with me if you are interested. So just want to put that out there, and I'm trying to see if we can get Pastor Flowers and Diva Mama. Lady Phoenix will be at the summer one because she's also hosting something similar in California. So if you're in Seattle, so if you're in the West Coast, please, I think she may be doing it in California instead of Seattle. But if you're on the West Coast, and you want to participate with something for the spring solstice, please, you know, get in contact with me, and I can get you in contact with Lady Phoenix so that you can get some information to participate with her spring equinox ceremony. Because it's important that we do ritual and ceremony and we connect back with Mother Earth. This is who we are, and so we must do this.
That's correct. And I think hers is free, too. You just have to get out there.
Mm-hmm. You just have to get out there.
Yeah.
Of course, when you get out there, you're still going to have to pay for your own food and things like that. The main reason mine is going to be $100 because the food is included.
Right.
So the whole time you're here, the food is included.
And your place.
And the shelter is included and transportation is included. You just have to get to Richmond, Virginia.
And that's cheap.
Right. So, you know. Y'all let me know y'all interested. I've given you the contact information, and like I said, it's only going to be up to 12 people that will be able to participate. So,
you know, Goddess Seek Wisdom card, the thrust of what this year is going to bring about is the fact that for those that it's always going to be a time where women are going to come in and discover what they are. But like I told you before, it's on different levels. And those that are at different levels, just like the body, are going to have different functions within that one whole body. And so that there has to be the rituals, you know, done. And we have to get together and start doing those again. And that's going to, in the beginning, be small. But as you begin to do these things and are consistent, that's the biggest thing is consistency, then we're able to bring in, because then you'll have a stabilized platform for other people to come in and learn from. But in the beginning, you know, it's all going to be because you different things. These things are very important because this year is going to bring about. If she's going to change it, she's going to have to do it. And if she doesn't know that she can do it, then she can't change it. And so we have to become to the point that we understand things like we were talking about earlier. We have to know things about anatomy, female anatomy, chemistry. We need to be teaching. You can teach your children. You can teach babies. You can put the periodical table and cut out pictures from a book to explain the properties of each and show it to little babies. I mean, why they 2 and 3 weeks old. You do this. That's a ritual. And as you do that ritual, these children will learn things where we're older trying to understand, hey, we don't know this. Because, see, everybody knows about our body but us.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, experts
you know,
at our body.
You know, and we don't know that everything is made after us.
Mm-hmm.
We're the secret knowledge.
We are the mystery.
We're the mystery system. We're the black in the sky. You know, and so we're gonna have
Dark matter.
That's what we are.
We are Dark Mother.
We are.
And the thing I always say to people is, people talk about the Big Bang. This is my comment about the Big Bang, or what have you. We came into creation because the Big Bang is nothing but the Great Mother's orgasm. Mm.
Mm.
Look at that. It's the Great Mother's orgasm.
Mm.
Okay? That's it. And yeah, some people can describe it as a big bang, because that's exactly what it is, a big bang.
So the thing here is we're going to have to know who we are,
mm-hmm.
know what we are in order to use our own power. But then we also have to get to this point. We have to stop playing around, and we have to admit where we went wrong. But you got to do that journey. You got to do it. Because, see, that's the same process that the man got to go through. He, you know, Reverend Majati, he's trying to help the brothers.
Right.
But it's still a path. It's still a process, you know, that you got to go through. and we have to go through our own process. And these things are two separate things, but they're really related to the whole. But they're two separate things. The men have to get to the point that they have to understand that they didn't get here without us. So why would you hate us? How could you be over us and treat us like we're nothing when the only way you got here is through us?
That is true.
And at any moment, you know, like the way these young girls are having abortions nowadays, she's saying she don't want no more. And so you can't just say, and there had really been in the past old literatures, ancient literatures, there had never been anything of a man before, because the whole ideal of goddess, got it, was about how she birthed in creation and nurtures all things.
All right, hold on one moment. We have 3 minutes remaining in the live stream. I want to thank everyone who tuned in to this show live and those who are listening to this in archive. Again, the website for Black Womaniverse is www.blackwomaniverse.webs.com, and the email to reach Black Womaniverse is blackwomb@divinechemistry.com, and chemistry is spelled K-H-E-M-E-S-T-R-Y. Okay. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I had to get that information.
No problem. It's just that, you know, we're going to have to, you know, I told you early, things are going to go in such a way that in a minute she's not going to really be on the Internet, because this particular technology that they got going, it hurts us. So she is going to have to, you know, we're basically crying aloud, trying to let everybody hear, you know, about what she is, because there's going to come a time that she's not going to be able to do as much broadcasting as she is going to be doing her rituals. And when she gets to do her, because that's the only way she's going to change. And that's going to take most of her time, because we live in a situation where this is detrimental. The way that this world is going right now is detrimental to the Black woman.
One thing I want to say that is very important, and I put this in the chat room earlier, and I'm just reading an email one of the sisters just sent me, and she is in Southside Chicago. She's wanting to, she's starting to be the path of being a childbirth educator. This is of so much importance to our people and our community. We need doulas and midwives.
A lot of them.
And we need our own birthing centers for our babies.
Very much so.
You know, so that is definitely going to be an upcoming show where we discuss that. If you want to look back in the archives, we have had Lydia Mana. She is in the Atlanta area, and she came on and spoke about holistic childbirth and things of that nature, doula and midwifery. If you could go back in the archive, she was on in maybe, I think, late summer, if I'm not mistaken, or either early summer, maybe July or August. So look back in the archives and check that show out. But we definitely need to discuss that amongst sisters and get the ball rolling on setting up systems where we have doula and midwives everywhere.
That's correct. That is correct. Because that, matter of fact, those things should be taught to, instead of us sending our children to these school systems that are miseducating them, we need to form our own schools, homeschool. And if you homeschool, you can always come in a large group. There's many ways you could do this, even if you work full-time. And it's very important for the babies or even our younger women, because, like I said, you have to prepare the ground first to receive the seed. And we are the earth. We are the ground. And the problem is the ground is deficit. It's deficient. It doesn't have what it needs in it to really bring about what we want. So if it if it doesn't have what we want, we have to begin to fertilize that ground and fix that ground right. And so that comes in like with the doulas and the midwives for
mm-hmm.
us, to, as I said before, about anatomy and women not knowing about their bodies. That was something that the women were taught early.
Right.
That was how they learned about their bodies. And so we need a lot of them, a lot of them. You know, it's a very, very important because we have no idea what these hospitals were doing these past 50-some-odd years, that they've really been getting people in them, because there were people back in the day that just didn't go to the doctors and didn't go to hospitals. And how were they being healed? And so we've forgotten a lot of things, and we're depending on a system that's trying to tell us we got to have thousands and thousands of dollars, you know, even if you work, you know, the medicine that they're distributing to us is making us sick. They're telling us that this is what's this is going to help our sickness, when in fact it's something that's making us sick. And each generation that we continue to take this medicine, it will continue to weaken the genetic body of the black woman, where she
mm-hmm.
is producing deficient people, men and women.
Right, right. All right, family, I enjoyed doing the show today, but I must end it. I have about 30 minutes before two of my clients come. Y'all know I'm a cosmetologist, so it is Friday, so people come. You know how the sisters are. We like to look good.
Oh, we post it. We do.
That's right. That's right. So I am going to leave everyone for now. Peace and blessings. Thank you for listening to the show. And if you are interested in this retreat, make sure you please get in contact with me. I love you all. Peace and blessings.
And anybody, can I say something?
Sure, sure. I'll wait.
Anybody, well, women preferably, I have a site called Ebony Women of the Diaspora, and
mm-hmm.
And that's like a study site. It's also a sister site. And so we really, you know, there are many of them, but I try to put on my site all the other sister sites so that you'll be aware. Everyone that I come up with, I put on that site. But we need to kind of start looking and getting together with other women, because that's our
mm-hmm.
strength, is together.
Mm-hmm.
It's not
that's
individual.
Right. And it's a lot of stuff that we need to talk about where it needs to be face-to-face only.
Yeah. The big problem is with quantum physics, the way you master it is to divide it from itself.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to refix it, you have to come back together as a whole. So we need to be educating ourselves, and this is going to be a powerful year.
Yes, I feel that.
We've got to get to the point that we stop blaming, and we have to just understand we are God and we are the creator, and we must get in the habit of creating what we want.
This is in our hands, and it is our responsibility. We can no longer complain. We just need to shape and mold things into the way that we want them to be. So with that being said, you know, peace and blessings.
Peace and blessings.